Amen. Praise God. Revelation 21. And as you're turning, I'd like to begin by making a confession this morning. There are times this Sirius, is that what they call it? Sirius Radio came with our car. And every so often, to entice us to sign up for the Sirius Radio, they give us a couple free weeks. And I have to admit that when I get the two free weeks, I will go to the 70s station and listen to the music of my youth, if just for a little bit. A little nostalgic, because we all know the 70s was the greatest decade of music there ever was. And for some of you, that was before your time. For some of you, it might have been after your time. But for me, that was my time. And occasionally, when I listen to an old song, I get somewhat emotional. And it's not because I have any sentimental value to that song or that song has moving lyrics or anything of that nature. Sometimes it's just kind of a silly song. But it does remind me of a time in my life when things were a lot less complicated, where I hadn't gone through some of the things that I've gone through, and I wasn't under some of the pressures that I'm under now, where I haven't made some of the mistakes that I had made, and I was full of optimism and dreams, and I was full of innocence. And there's a certain sadness that comes over me when I get a remembrance of how life was at that time. In fact, in my life, I have many emotional flashbacks, and not just thinking about how life was back in the 70s when I was a kid, but also when I think about how life was before I had cancer. And don't get me wrong, God was very, very good to me when I went through cancer, praise God. And I experienced some wonderful, beautiful things from the Lord Jesus Christ during that time. But nonetheless, it was a very painful time. It's a time that I don't like to think about or reflect on too much. And it was something that changed my life. My life is different now since going through cancer. Once you've gone through it, those of you who've gone through something, anything similar to that, know that the threat of cancer always looms over your head. There are times that I see an older gentleman with kind of silver hair, about my height, average build, and I'm reminded of my father. And so there's some sadness with that. And even though I've received Christ in my life, and with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, so many wonderful things has happened. Christ has removed my sin and, of course, my guilt and my shame. And Christ has borne my cares and my burdens, although I must admit that I still struggle with bearing those things at different times. But I still carry tears. There's still tears in my eyes in different moments. I don't live in tears, but there's still sadness that I carry. And apparently the Word of God teaches us that through life, even if we know Christ as Savior, there's a certain amount of sadness that we will carry with us until we see Jesus face to face. Reading Revelation chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Would you bow your hearts with me? Let's ask God's blessing as we look to the Word of God this morning. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for your goodness and grace. And I thank you for your Word. And this morning, I also thank you for my tears. And so, God, as we look to your Word this morning for grace, for comfort, for truth, for revelation of who you are, we ask for your holy anointing to be upon your Word, be upon this speaker, upon every hearer here. And we ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Now, may I say, although my life is more complicated, I have more pressure, I've gone through some things, I'm carrying some things, I in no way want to go back to being the person I was once before. I don't want to trade my life now for my youth. My life now is full, and it's full of the blessing of family and friends, even of the heartbreaks of life and ministry. And God has used all of these different experiences to make me into the person that I am today, who is more like Jesus than I was as that carefree boy back in the 70s. But the question I'd like to look at this morning is, will we ever be free from the tears that we carry? And the answer to that is no, not in this life, but someday. But someday. Now, there are those of you who might be here who are offended by what I shared, but let me assure you that my faith is not errant. Living and walking for Jesus does not mean that you never walk without tears. If you live for Jesus, you will live as Jesus lived. And Jesus, although he is the Prince of Peace, was also a man of sorrows. And as he lived this life on this earth, and I believe also as he lives in heaven, full in the glory of and the splendor of God, because he is God, he lives with tears. And as we study the Bible and as we look at people in both the Old and the New Testament, we see that beautiful people, godly people, righteous people, anointed people lived for God, knew God, served God with tears in their eyes. One of the most beautiful scriptures there is from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms. It's a scripture, expresses the heart of David, a mighty anointed man of God. And not only anointed man of God, but a real man's man. You know, because, you know, I don't know if little boys are taught now, but, you know, when I was a boy, you were taught that big boys don't cry. And there's no more of a man than the man David. David was a man's man. But listen to the expression of his heart from the book of Psalms, chapter 56, verse 8. David writes, record my lament or my sorrows. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? What was David saying there? In serving God and being this mighty warrior, in being this man's man, in being a king, being a shepherd boy, all the things that he did for God and did under God, unto God, he did with tears. And then in the New Testament, we have the example of the Apostle Paul. I spoke about him a few weeks ago and how, you know, the Apostle Paul was a godly man, not a perfect man. But as you read his letters, and as you see how he lived, you don't think of him as being an emotional man. You think of him being kind of a hard man. You know, people who had offended him, he'd pray almost God's curses on them. You know, it's just a a tough man, but he really wasn't. He might have looked tough on the outside, but on the inside, his heart was very tender, and he too served the Lord with tears. Acts chapter 20, verse 19, Paul, in recalling his ministry, said, "I served the Lord with great humility and with tears." Paul experienced tears and served with tears in his eyes and did not, and not only was he not ashamed of his own tears, he was sensitive and acknowledged the tears of others. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 4, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." Tears were not only something that Paul experienced, they were something that he did not despise. Because tears are part of the daily meat of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 11, when he saw the sorrow of his friends, burst out in tears. And according to Scripture, not only the New Testament, the scripture that we read by way of introduction, that God will wipe away all tears, but also in the New Testament, in the book of Isaiah chapter 25 verse 8, sharing with us the same sentiment that we read about in Revelation chapter 21 verse 4, is that carrying tears or sorrows is something that the believer will do until he or she enters eternity. The words of Isaiah regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, because the book of Isaiah, even though it's in the Old Testament, is a beautiful testimony of our Savior Jesus. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Many things, and you know this, especially those of you who have lived for any amount of time, less so for those of you who are younger, and I'm not trying to dampen your aspirations or discourage you from moving forward. Embrace life now and live it to the fullness, because you're only young ones. But you will experience tears. Tears associated with the loss of loved ones, those that we hold close to our heart. At some point, we will lose them. Through death or through other circumstances, those we hold near and dear to our heart will be taken from us. And they'll leave a hole in our heart that we'll try to desperately fill with our tears. And everyone, because life, this side of eternity, is not perfect, will face disappointment. And some disappointments we can just shrug off as nothing, but some disappointments wound us deeply in our soul. And when we reflect upon them, they bring tears to our eyes. There's none of us who are free from sin. And of course, when we accept Christ as our Savior, our sins are washed away. And even after we accept Christ as our Savior, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But with sin comes tears. And I look over my life and I regret so many things that I have done since accepting Jesus as my Savior, and it fills my eyes with tears. Increased stress as you get older, the stress of family, of career, of money. When I was in the 70s, when I was a boy, I didn't care about money. You know, the whole thing with those of you who remember the gas lines and all that, I didn't care about that. I didn't worry about we're going to get anywhere. No problem. Now things are completely different. They shouldn't be. We're to have faith as a child. But it's different when you're older. You're paying your own bills. The stress of ministry for those, and all of us have something to do for the kingdom. Not only do we all share these, they don't evaporate or disappear when we accept Jesus as our Savior. But the Bible teaches us, and if you're truly living for Jesus, and the heart of Jesus Christ pumps in your body, then the tears in your eyes should increase. You should be, as the Apostle Paul, more concerned and more sensitive to the needs of others. Listening to the story of that young lady this morning from Haiti, if that didn't in any way move your heart, I don't mean to get preachy this morning, but you need more of Jesus in your life. That's just one small example of the millions of souls who at this moment are suffering for no good reason. We should be moved, and if we know Jesus and we're filled with His love, we should weep over the needs of others. This was the Apostle Paul. Ministry brought him, and the concerns of ministry brought him tears. 2 Corinthians 2:4. I wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. We weep over the devastation of sin. And I almost don't want to read the news, but, you know, we shouldn't live life ignorant of what goes on around us. I mean, you can get too involved with news, but the horrors that go on in the world. The young lady in Nigeria, and that's just one example of the persecution that's going on there, or the sinful, vile acts of the leadership in North Korea, and just other horrible things that we see going on as a result of sin in the world should grieve our hearts. And we all should be weeping over those who don't know Christ personally as Savior. For with Christ, there's no hope beyond this grave, and they face an eternity of darkness and separation from the love of God. Okay, so we have these tears, and not only do we still have tears after we accept Jesus as our Savior, our tears increase. But how do we live with them? How do we deal with them? How do we reconcile them with the truth of the Word of God, with the message of the Gospel, in that if we know Jesus, not only will we have life, but have it to the full? How do we serve God in the midst of tears? How do we worship God and sing His praises? Did not Jesus say, and forgive me for not having the reverence, I share these things with you so that your joy may be full? How do we have full joy in the midst of tears? How do we not allow our sorrows to swallow us up and live the victorious Christian life that the Bible speaks of? Tears would seem to interfere with these things. Let's see what God's Word has for us. Well, the first thing we need to understand is that as a believer, we gain nothing by denying that we have tears and sorrows. Denial is not deliverance. You know, sometimes believers, because we know we should be joyful, we know that Christ has carried all our burdens, all our sorrows, as well as our sins, we think to ourselves, well, because Jesus did all things, and if I'm to be a good Christian, I can't ever be sad. And we treat sadness and sorrow like some people treat sickness. You know, when someone's sick and they receive bad news, sometimes they don't want to receive it, so they say, "Well, I'm not going to receive it. I don't believe that I'm sick." In fact, some theology lends itself to that in some circles of Christianity. And thank God I didn't think that way when I was diagnosed with cancer, or else all my tears would be washed away because I'd be with Jesus right now. Not to say that God didn't do a work. But some people, there's a misconception out there. If you're a Christian, you should never have a moment of sorrow. And if we think that way, we just, oh, I shouldn't be sad, so I'm just not going to think about my sadness. I'm going to pretend it's not there and just ignore it. But you gain nothing by ignoring your tears. In fact, when you deny your tears, what you want to happen, the grace, the peace, the power, the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you deny your tears, you deny yourself God's comfort. How do we know this? What did Jesus say in his first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, in those beautiful words known as the Beatitudes? Matthew 5:4 says, "Blessed are those who what? Mourn. And there's a promise to them, and that promise is they will be comforted." Not only as a believer should we not run away from our tears and deny our tears, but we should not only embrace those tears, but unashamedly and unabashedly bring those tears to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do according to the word of Jesus Christ himself, we have the promise. And the promises of God are yes and amen. We have the promise that we will be comforted. If you bottle them up, you insulate yourself from the love and the blessing and the power and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But if you give them to Jesus, you open the floodgates of your soul to receive his abundant blessing. Denial not only hinders yourself, it hinders your witness and your ministry. You know, do you want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I would think all of us would want to. Well, share with them the gospel that Jesus shared, a relatable gospel. Not a gospel that's pie in the sky, that doesn't really exist, but a gospel that is true. And if you say to people in sharing Jesus and about the work of Jesus Christ, come to Jesus and you'll never have sorrows again. You're not only misrepresenting what the gospel is, you will have sorrow, but God will help you through that sorrow, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you share with them a gospel that they can't relate to. I don't understand that. That makes absolutely no sense to me. And you close down an avenue of sharing Jesus with another human being. And young Christians or other Christians, if you share with them, if you know Jesus, you should never have a sad day in your life. Will not lead them to a place of victory and peace and strength, just confusion and frustration, because they'll wonder in their hearts, well, why don't I feel that way? How come God hasn't done in my life what he's supposedly done in their lives? There either must be something wrong with me, or there must be something wrong with God. But Scripture teaches us that we can live victoriously with tears. And it begins with our attitude towards tears, and that attitude needs to be an attitude of acceptance. Living with tears As we have seen in different scriptures, Paul, once again in Acts 20:19, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears. Living with tears is a part of living for Jesus. I have it in my notes, but I won't share it because it's not, doesn't seem very nice. But if I was to share it, it'd be living with tears is part of living for Jesus, so you might as well just get used to it. But living with tears, as we see, is not only something that we need to get used to, because it's part of Christian living, it's also something that we cannot use as an excuse not to serve and worship God. Don't let sorrows tempt you to say, I can't do, God, what you have called me to do. I can't be a vessel poured out for you. Because maybe later, maybe after I get through this pain, I can serve you. Let me tell you, some of the most powerful times of ministry you will have in your life will be times of ministry out of a broken heart. How do we know this to be true? You know, Paul, of course, served the Lord with tears. But listen to the words of David in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. When we embrace and we allow our tears to flow freely from our eyes and pour them out before the Lord Jesus Christ, that is when God is the closest to us. How important, how precious is that time before God? God is near, and not only is He near, but He has, I imagine, some poor angel with a sheet of paper and a pen saying, there's a tear. There's another tear. There's another tear. I imagine that's one of the worst jobs in heaven. But it's so important to God and so precious in the eyes of God that God records each and every one. And so when we embrace our tears and we weep, you ever feel good after a cry? You know, people, it's increased 10,000-fold when we weep before the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, not only our approach, but our vision for the future. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the privilege and the responsibility to live in hope. Once again, from our text this morning, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, He, speaking of Jesus, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Through this life, yes, it is a season of tears. But that season will be over. And I believe the first thing that will happen, maybe not the first, but one of the first things that will happen when we finally see Jesus face to face is He's going to reach out His nail-scarred hand and wipe every tear from our eyes, and all the pain and hurt that we've carried through life will be gone forever. Bless God. Will we not remember? Will God do something different? I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't quite understand it. I just believe it. I have faith that someday the sorrows of my life will be completely wiped away. And because of that, it gives me hope. Hallelujah. To keep pressing on for Jesus with all of my heart. And thirdly, as we live now, not only are we to live with this vision of hope, we're to live under the power of grace. Grace is not something that we experience solely when we accept Christ as our Savior, God giving us His favor of forgiveness. Grace and the power of grace is something that we should live under each and every day because we need it. A couple of things about tears, not to be redundant. But listen, your tears are a very, very important part of you. They make you who you are. If you had no tears, you wouldn't be the person in Christ that you are today. That's the reason why they're staying with you. And it's okay, because it makes you into a more compassionate, loving person. But the tears of the believer are different than the tears of the person who does not know Jesus, in that they're mingled with peace and joy. How can those two things exist at the same time? Yes, with man it is impossible, but do we not serve a God that with all things, in all things, everything is possible to those who believe? 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10 says regarding his grace, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We do not, if you know Jesus, you do not live this life all by yourself. You live this life not only with Jesus, but with His power and His strength because of His grace, His unmerited favor. Two aspects that I mentioned to you of His grace that help us deal with these tears and continue to move forward in Jesus. They're the second and third fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians chapter 5. The first is joy, that inexpressible that wonderful happiness that flows from the depths of our being. Nehemiah writes, or tells us in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's God's joy, even in the midst of sorrow, that bubbles over our souls and enables us to continue to live for Jesus, not with some of our heart, but with all of our heart, mind, and strength. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 talks about the peace of God that transcends all understanding. It comes to us, not because of anything we do, but because of the work of grace in our lives. And so our responsibility as believers, if we want to live this victorious Christian life in the midst of tears, is to do so under the power of His grace. God, grant me every day, Lord Jesus, Your grace, Your strength, Your peace, Your joy. I need You, Lord Jesus, to deal not only with the sorrows, but the trials, the temptations, and the challenges of the day. And God is faithful to meet us with everything we need to live victoriously each and every day if we call out to Him. And I'd like to ask Jeremiah if you'd come. And I'd like to sing You Hold Me Now one more time. We sang it earlier. And especially the second verse, I think, speaks to what we've been talking about. And I'd like us all to stand and just to sing this song together in closing. And as we do, let us make this our prayer this morning. That hallelujah, that even though in this life there may be tears, we know that someday God is going to wipe away each and every tear. But in the meantime, He's going to be with us every step of the way, granting us great strength through His grace. Let's sing together this morning in Jesus' name.